We invite you to participate in a week-long study class on the wonderful prophecies fulfilled by the coming of Baha'u'llah, the founder of the Baha'i Faith. The study class is conducted by Hand of the Cause William Sears. So let us begin the first day with a song that tells the story of the entire study class, assuring us that the Promised One has come.
Live in the glory of God. Live in the glory of God. In the name of His glory and His everlasting story, let's live in the glory of God. For He has come. Yes, He has come. Oh, the promised one has come. Baha'u'llah is the glory who was promised in the story. Live in the glory of God. Live in the glory of God. And our lives will be lighter and His kingdom will be brighter. Let's live in the glory of God. For He has come.
He has come.
Yes, He has come.
He has come.
Oh, the promised one has come. Baha'u'llah is the glory who was promised in the story. Baha'u'llah has come.
Hello there, I'm Bill Sears. That song is what this study class is all about. The Promised One has come. I was thinking the other day, what could I do to help all the wonderful new Baha'is who are entering the Baha'i faith in such great numbers these days? How could I help them to bring in more thousands, many more thousands of Baha'is in every one of their villages, towns, cities, and countrysides? And I decided that Marguerite and I, Marguerite Sayers, she's my wife, but you probably know that. She's the one who taught me about the faith of Baha'u'llah and helped me to become a Baha'i. I thought perhaps that Marguerite and I could tell all of you the thrilling and dramatic story about the fulfillment of prophecy from the sacred scriptures of the past, which took place when Baha'u'llah came into the world. A wonderful story. And after hearing these marvelous prophecies, those people that you are teaching may want to become Baha'is too, just as soon as they can.
That's what happens to all of us, you know. Hearing about Baha'u'llah is like being present on the mountainside when Christ talked to the people.
Yes, you believe. I mean, you really believe in Him. You know it's the truth. You want to be a part of it just as soon as you can. When this study class is over, you will have heard all you need to know to become a follower of Baha'u'llah, a Baha'i. In fact, you'll have heard enough by the time the first half is over, the first 3 days. And you may want to join this radiant spiritual army of Baha'u'llah. Well, that's up to you. Let me give you a sample of the excitement we're about to share together. Prophecy.
Ezekiel, chapter 43, verse 4. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east.
Baha'u'llah's name in English means the glory of the Lord, or the glory of God. And He did come to Israel from the east. Baha'u'llah's birthplace in Tehran, Persia, is directly east of Israel. And He did come by way of the gate. Isn't that fascinating? Baha'u'llah, like Christ before Him, had a herald, a forerunner. Christ had John the Baptist. Baha'u'llah had a young man, a wonderful young man, called the Bab. He was a prophet in his own right. He prepared the way for Baha'u'llah, just as it was foretold would happen in the scriptures. The Bab's name, spelled B-A-B, when translated into English, means the gate. Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, came to the Holy Land from the east by way of the Bab, the gate. But that's only the beginning. Still Ezekiel. Prophecy.
Chapter 43, verse 2. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with His glory.
Baha'u'llah, whose name means the glory of God, came from the east. He wrote over 100 volumes. His name is known now in more than 316 countries, territories, and islands, and in over 50,000 places in the world his faith is established. Probably even more now as we're talking, so fast is this Baha'i faith spreading. All this has taken place in just a little over 100 years. Imagine that. Imagine how the earth has shined with Baha'u'llah's glory. That's what Baha means, glory. Prophecy.
Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 38. And I will set my throne in Elam, and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord.
Jeremiah says this will take place in the latter days. And where does Jeremiah say God will set his throne? In Elam. Mm-hmm. Elam was once part of the land which we know as Persia, Iran, the birthplace of both Baha'u'llah and his herald, the Bab. That's interesting, isn't it? Baha'u'llah wrote many letters and messages to the kings of the world at that time, too. He warned them that they would lose their kingdoms and their power if they did not do the work of God and protect their people. Well, they did not, and their kingdoms were destroyed.
You can read that story or hear about it in a book called The Promised Day Is Come. The kings were punished because of their own heedless actions, just as Baha'u'llah said they would be.
There are other books written about this dramatic story of Baha'u'llah's letters to the kings, too. You can read them yourself or have someone read these marvelous stories to you. It will be a fascinating and unique experience. Kingdom after kingdom falls exactly as foretold by Baha'u'llah and by the prophets of old. It happened as Jeremiah said it would happen, in the day when God would set his throne in Elam, Persia, and would destroy the wicked rulers. Now, let's examine a few prophecies from some of the lesser known books. Prophecy.
And then from the sunrise, God shall send a king who shall give every man release from the bane of war. Nor shall he do these things by his own counsel, but in obedience to the good ordinances of the mighty God.
That prophecy is from the ancient Jewish writings. The Jewish author Joseph Klausner, in his book The Messianic Idea in Israel, says that this king from the sunrise is without any doubt the King Messiah. Those are his words. Baha'u'llah came to Israel from the sunrise, from the east. The world center of the Baha'i faith is established in Israel. The kingdom of Baha'u'llah is now spreading into all parts of the world. Isn't that a fascinating story? All right. Prophecy.
If there is but 1 minute remaining in the whole world, I will send someone from this nation, Persia, who will renew religion.
Imagine that. And that's from one of the traditional sacred prophecies of Zoroaster, the messenger of God for the Zoroastrian people. It's from the book of Noteg, called Religious Debates. Here's another.
When Persia and the other countries are overtaken by the Arabs, I will choose one from the generation of the kings of Persia, so that he will call the people of the world from east to west to worship one God.
The guardian of the Baha'i faith, Shoghi Effendi, tells us in God Passes By, one of his books, that Baha'u'llah was descended from the line of the Sasanian dynasty of the kings of Persia. Baha'u'llah was also descended from Zoroaster, he says. In the writings of more than one faith, Persia has been given a special place for the last days. Although the Bible scholars couldn't say why. They would say, Persia has a special place, but why, we do not know. That's almost a quotation from one of them. We, the followers of Baha'u'llah, we do know why, though, don't we? Let's go back to the Bible, to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel led many people to discover the prophecies about the first coming of Christ. These prophecies also speak of Christ's return in the glory of the Father, Baha'u'llah. You can read some answered questions by Abdu'l-Bahá, the son of Baha'u'llah, and other books too. These books will tell you the story in detail. Here, we will touch only upon a few highlights. For example, here is another prophecy about Persia. This is from Daniel. Prophecy.
Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered.
Well, we found that in the book of Matthew too, didn't we? Almost the same words. Daniel, in these same chapters, tells us about the coming of this great messenger of God. When? In the year 1844, the year of the birth of the Baha'i faith. Many Christian Bible scholars came to this same 1844 period for the return of Christ when they studied these prophecies of Daniel. And where did Daniel make all of these wonderful prophecies? Where was he when he said these things? Well, sir, Daniel made these prophecies in Elam, in Persia. Daniel said that Persia, Elam, would be given as a place of vision in the latter days. Daniel wrote in Shushan, in ancient Persia. Shushan was the capital city of Elam, of that ancient land we know now as Persia or Iran. Another prophecy. Baha'u'llah's mission on earth lasted 40 years. It began in the Black Pit prison in Tehran, Persia. It ended with Baha'u'llah's passing in the Holy Land, Israel, some 40 years later. Joseph Klausner, in his book, The Messianic Idea in Israel, remember I mentioned the book earlier? Klausner quotes R. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, another respected Jewish author, as saying this:
"The days of the Messiah will last 40 years.
Baha'u'llah's mission on earth lasted exactly 40 years. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? But it's only the beginning, of course. Sir Edward Irving, a Christian clergyman and Bible scholar, spent much time studying the prophecies about when Christ would return. He expected Christ to return in the 1843-45 period. Edward Irving also wrote about a prophecy that he discovered in India when he was there, about a religion that would come from the West and would possess the world in 40 years.
And Persia, of course, is west of India.
These prophecies are only a few of the least of the prophecies. Wherever we look, in whatever direction we turn, we will see proof after proof announcing the coming of Baha'u'llah. Since most of us in the West were Christians before we came Baha'is, let's talk a little bit about Christ. What did Christ himself say about Baha'u'llah? What did Jesus say about his own return? That's an important thing for us, isn't it? I mean, what Christ said. So let's investigate that in our study class. And don't be alarmed at that word, study class. It sounds like it might be a lot of work, I know, but it isn't. Not really. I mean, for example, you haven't had any trouble at all so far, have you? You didn't have a thing to read at all, did you? Well, this is a study class. It's very easy and it's fun. It merely means that we're studying together about the coming of the promised one for all ages, Baha'u'llah, the glory of God. You might call it a listening class as well as a study class.
Well, of course, later on you will want to know much more about Baha'u'llah, and the Baha'is will tell you everything you want to know so that you too can become a Baha'i.
That's right. These prophecies are only the beginning. I mean, you'll talk about it yourselves after each session and discuss it more. It's only a beginning. But what a beginning. Now, let's get back to our prophecies and see what Christ himself told us about his return. For that's what Baha'u'llah is. Make no mistake about that. Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ. And the sooner the Christian world recognizes this truth and accepts it and joins together with the Baha'is to spread the good news, the sooner will we have that better world that Christ himself promised us in his Lord's Prayer. The day when God's kingdom on earth would be established, and God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's up to us, the Baha'is, to tell everyone that the kingdom of God on earth has begun, and that this is what the Baha'is everywhere are building. It is the inception, the very beginning, of the Christ-promised kingdom of God on earth. Baha'u'llah himself said that, and so did his son Abdu'l-Bahá, and so did his great-grandson Shoghi Effendi, the guardian of the Baha'i faith. And so does our Supreme Universal House of Justice, that supreme infallible body which guides our destinies today.
And remember, whenever you form a new local Baha'i assembly, you are helping to bring the Christ-promised kingdom of God on earth closer to reality.
And isn't that something wonderful to work for? Especially for those of us who have been Christians in the past. It means we're doing the work that His Holiness Christ wanted us to do. So tell your neighbors the good news. Christ has returned. Let them become part of the joyous work. If they are ready, they are welcome. All right. Now, let's talk about specific prophecies. Christ made three distinct promises to his disciples, promises that were meant for the whole world. Jesus told his followers exactly when he would return. There was no doubt about it. Let's see what those three promises were. Chapter 24, verse 3 of Matthew. These are the words of the Bible now. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, that's plain enough, isn't it? When will Christ return? What did he say himself? Prophecy.
Matthew 24th chapter, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
When the gospel of Christ is preached in all the nations of the world for a witness, the end will come and Christ will return. That's Christ's own prophecy. This is what he told his disciples, and through them, his followers, us, in the years to come. This is what Christ told us. This is what we should look for. When the gospel is preached in all the nations, then he, Christ, would return to earth.
In the years of the 1840s, Christian Bible scholars became very interested in this prophecy. They were convinced that by the 1840s, the gospel of Christ had already spread around the world, so Christ should return any minute.
By 1844, the gospel was being taught even in the interior of Africa. In the book Thief in the Night, which I wrote some time ago, I devoted several pages to the fulfillment of this prophecy. I'll only mention one here. It is from a Christian Bible scholar, not a Baha'i. In his book, Our Day in the Light of Prophecy, written concerning the period of the 1840s, Spicer, the author, S-P-I-C-E-R, wrote that the gospel of Christ in his day had been spread to most of the inhabitants of the earth. A similar prophecy about the time of the return of Christ is given also in the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 10, which informs us that,
And the gospel must first be published among all the nations, and then Christ will return.
This prophecy of Christ had indeed already been fulfilled by the time of the 1840s. By the year 1844, the year of the birth of the Baha'i faith, the gospel of Christ had been published widespread among the nations, and had reached into every part, almost every part, of the world. So we see that the first promise of Christ was fulfilled by the year 1844, the year of the birth of the Baha'i faith, the faith of Baha'u'llah. In that same chapter, Mark 13, verse 33, Christ warns his followers to be awake and to watch for that day. He said,
Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is.
Now, after more than a century, many of the Christians are still waiting, although the Baha'i faith came over 100 years ago and fulfilled so exactly this first promise of Christ. Thank God that you have not waited, but are ready to hear Baha'u'llah's wonderful words, that you are one of the sheep who Christ said would hear his voice. Now we come to the second promise of Christ. This second promise of Christ is from the book of Luke. Once again, the disciples asked Christ when he would return. And these are the words of the Bible now, chapter 21, verse 7. Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Christ warns them not to be deceived, but to read the signs in the right way, and to understand his words. Prophecy.
Luke chapter 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
And that's the prophecy we shall begin with when we start the second day of our study class. We shall give you many more details about the coming of the Promised One, Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, the return of Christ. We shall find to our delight that the second promise of Christ was also fulfilled by the year 1844, the year of the birth of the Baha'i faith. Is it any wonder that in more than 50,000 places all over the world these days, in more than 316 countries, territories, and islands, there are followers of Baha'u'llah, Baha'is, who are eagerly telling people everywhere the good news about his coming. They are urging everyone to study for themselves, and to see that all of the prophecies and promises of the Holy Scriptures have truly been fulfilled by Baha'u'llah's coming.
But we'll hear more about